Amen. Jesus is the answer. So, with that being said, now that you know the answer, class dismissed. Let me pray. I'm just teasing. We're just getting started. But just want to have a little fun right there. I picked out that video and I was like, are you really going to play this one, Jesus is the answer, and then just walk? Yeah, well, it's funny to me. So my mind works very, very weird. So this 5-week series, we're going to go to school. We're going to have math class. We're going to have English class. We're going to have history. We're going to have science, and we're going to have PE. So, No? Okay, I'm going to call.
Recess
means you leave here, and I see you next week. That's your recess for the rest of the week. So you get your recess from me. You only have to deal with me one day a week. There's your recess, but that's pretty funny. So personally, math was my favorite subject. I really liked to do math class. Not everyone likes math. I understand that. So it was one good for me to start because I'm like, oh, I'm pumped up to do math. And then other people are like, I can't stand math class. I hope this isn't hard. Let's just get it out of the way. And then I can come to the rest of it because some of y'all are, you know, sweating it out. Like, am I ever going to have to do long division? You're not going to have to do long division. It's very, very easy today. But regardless of how I feel about math, I will tell you, I didn't love everything about it. There were some things I absolutely could not stand, particularly I could not stand word problems. Oh, word problems were absolutely the worst. I remember the smart aleck young me raised my hand and said, teacher, am I in math class or am I in English? Because I thought I had numbers to deal with, not words, but we had to do word problems. So I'm not the only person who's felt this way. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to start off. I've got some kids that turned in answers too. They're a little bit fun. Some of them are math, some of them are not, but there are more than just me that think like that. So I can imagine as teachers grading papers, and let's take a look at the first thing that was turned in. Come on. Technology's great until it doesn't work. There we go. Teachers grading papers. Change centimeters to meters. Very easy. Just take out the centa. Genius. Genius. That's what you do there. Just take out centa. There you go. I can imagine the teacher's look on her face and like, there's my son answering right there. Briefly explain to me what hard water is. Ice. That was brief and it was the right answer. I don't know, that's me. Find X. There it is. Now, what I particularly like about this is I like this right here. Like, it was either an X and a zero, or she loved it and it was hugs and kisses. I don't know what it was, but it was pretty funny that find X and here it is. All right. This one's a little harsh. Dear algebra, please stop asking us to find your X. She's never coming back, and don't ask why. That's a very nice math joke right there. I thought it was perfect for this class. X and Y, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. This one's not math, but it's pretty funny. Bears are omnivores and will eat almost anything. What are six things that you think bears might eat in the wild? Particularly, number one is my favorite, Green Bay Packers. Honey, fish, smaller animals, bugs, people, food. But the fact that kid wrote Green Bay Packers was the bears. That was for you, buddy. You're welcome. This is for my wife. A real-life story to go with this number sentence also solved the problem. 24 plus 9 equals 33. Now please write a sentence. Ella got on 24 of her mom's nerves. Soon, she got on 9 more. How many total nerves did Ella get on? 33 nerves. Absolutely hilarious because people get on people's nerves. Yes, I am sorry. That is a... Yes. No, that's Facebook Live. So come on in, guys. Have a seat. Welcome in.
Do you happen to know if there's anybody who's going to prayer this evening?
They have the healing rooms across the way.
But there's nobody over there. That's why
we're then there's no one here today. I'm so very sorry. You're welcome to stay the class and we'll pray with you afterwards.
I would love to, but I'm actually getting ready to go to Rockport in the morning, so I guess I'll go back.
Okay. You're very welcome, sir. All right. Next one. It's okay. This one is my personal favorite. Bob has 36 candy bars. He eats 29. What does he have now? Diabetes. Bob has diabetes. Now, that handwriting looks very, very nice. There is a version where a kid actually wrote that. It was not good enough quality to put on the screen. So I found this version. Yes, a person wrote it, but they literally just copied what that kid said. And if you could see how they wrote diabetes, it wasn't spelt correctly. But hilarious. Now, my mentality is I can see some of y'all. This is what I do. I'm going to go to the cereal aisle. And what's right next to the cereal aisle at HEB? It's the candy aisle. And you're just going to look there, and you're just going to start shaking your head and just laugh. Diabetes. That's just what I do. So if you see me shaking my head laughing, and you're like, he's not talking to anybody, it's because Bob ate 29 candy bars. So now, even though these are very, very funny, the truth is we all really have problems. Some of them are emotional, some of them are physical, some of them are financial, some of them are spiritual, some of them are relationships. So with that being said, I wish I could give you all your answers tonight. I don't have the answers, but I know someone who does, and I want to point you to him tonight. We're going to take a look at some examples in the Bible of some problems that the children of Israel had and the solution God has for them and that God has for us. I think they're very wonderful, very nice. And we're actually going to get started right now. The first one we know is the children of Israel. Now, the children of Israel, just to give you some context, they have just been freed from Egypt. They have had 400 years of slavery. They've been out in the wilderness now. It's been about 40 days that they've been in the wilderness. In fact, they've been in the wilderness for 40 days, and it seems that Moses is finding it harder to take Egypt out of them than them out of Egypt, which is pretty crazy if you read Exodus, what happened there. And so as he's walking through the camp, he can hear murmurs and people talking, and he actually listens through, and you can read this, and it's funny, the scripture we're going to use is where you're reading Numbers. Numbers never lie, that they don't coincide, but I thought that was pretty funny that I used the word numbers. So here's Moses, and this is what he says in Numbers 11, chapter 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again, saying, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except for this manna before our eyes." So they start whining and complaining. They start basically throwing a fit. Now, I get it's 40 days. I don't understand why they're throwing a fit. They're missing the meat on the menu. That's what they're missing. They just got freed from 400 years of slavery. They've seen 10 plagues put upon the Egyptians like the world has never seen. That's amazing. They just saw that. That's that generation. In fact, not only did they see all those things happen to them, they actually were given all of their treasures. They said, "Here, take our best. Take our treasures." They said, "Get out of here. We're going to give you money to leave." They paid them to leave. They threw their treasures at them. Then they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. That just happened. They crossed the Red Sea. In fact, their enemy got crushed by the same sea that they just walked through. Their enemy is defeated. Their clothes are never going to wear out. Their shoes are never going to wear out. There's a rock that's going to give them water. They're going to have a cloud of by day, a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night to protect them. And they have manna from heaven falling from the earth every single day. And they're missing the meat on the menu. Now, we all know what happens when we start to complain. It gets contagious, right? You hear it on airplanes. Oh, how long are we going to be taxiing? One person starts says, "Well, you know, we've been here for 45 minutes. And it just goes and goes. Well, it happens to Moses, too. He hears them and he starts thinking, "I've got a big problem." What is he going to do? He's going to cry to God. It's exactly what he's doing. That's what I would do. He goes to God. He says, "Where am I to get this meat to give all these people? For they weep over me, saying, 'Give us this meat that we may eat.'" He starts begging God. He starts complaining to God. He even tells him, "You know what? These are my kids. I didn't give birth to all these kids. Why are they bugging me? What can I do? It is horrible, God. You've got to help me. It's ridiculous. This problem is too big. And yet, even though they throw a tantrum, that's exactly what they did. They threw a fit. Even Moses throws a fit. But God, even though he's angry, he answers their tantrum with something that's amazing. He doesn't just promise them a meal of meat. He promises them meat for a whole month. Now, that's amazing. That God says, I know you're hungry for meat, but I'm not just going to give you meat for a day. I'm going to give you meat for a whole month. Now, I can serve a God that says I can meet your need like that. Oh, just today? No, we're going to do more than you ask, more than you think. But he tells that to Moses, and Moses starts doing the math, and he doesn't understand, and I don't understand, well, how can you give meat for a month? The numbers just don't add up. He doesn't understand how God can do it for a day, let alone a whole month. This is what Moses says. And Moses said, the people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said I will give them meat to eat, that they may eat for a whole month? Shall the flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish in the sea be gathered to them to provide enough for them? See, it doesn't add up to him. It's 650,000 men on foot, plus women and children. He's got over 1 million people there. He doesn't understand, God, if we took all of our herds and killed every single one of them, that would feed them just for a little bit. That's not going to, how are you, it doesn't add up. Well, God says, you know what, Moses, I'm going to show you something. I want you to see something that you don't normally see. In fact, he doesn't just want Moses to see it. He writes in the scripture, he wants us to see it. So when it doesn't make sense to you and me, God wants to be, in your notes, your X factor. Now, we got the chalkboard up here. We are going to do a little math. It's going to be a little fun, but God wants to be your X factor. So we're going to do a little algebra. You've got two numbers I want you to look at. The first number is the number 5. The second number is the number 7. And yes, we're going to go to the X, and you're going to ask why, but I'm going to explain why. X equals 365. So 5 here in this equation represents grace. The number 5 represents grace in the Bible. That's what 5 here represents. The number 7 here is how many days a week the enemy's going to attack you. He doesn't take Sundays off, people. It's every day. And so God says, okay, I want you to make up in your mind to let me be your X factor. I'm going to explain that. We're going to write some equations out. Depending on where you put the X in your life will depend on how your problem is answered. For example, if we put the X with the 5, let's say 5 minus 7 is what we're trying to deal with, and we're putting X. 5X minus 7 equals a positive. But if we put the X with the 7, 5 minus 7X equals a negative. So God wants us to choose to be our X factor. He wants us to make that decision, because what do we know to be true? The enemy is going to attack us 7 days a week, 365 days a year. This is what he wants. And what does he use? What's his easiest tactic to use? He wants to use fear. Now, why does he want to use fear? Because that's all he has. He doesn't want to tell you who you are. He doesn't want to give you the truth. He wants to come at you with things that make you worry. He wants you to listen to what he's saying. He's going to come at you every single day, any way that he can. He's going to tell you that you're not good enough. He's going to tell you the what ifs. What if this? What if that? He's going to tell you, you know what? This problem is too big. You can't overcome this. You know what? This problem that you're facing right now in your life, in your family, in your body, in your walk with God, you can't figure this out. It's just too much. It doesn't add up. So what do? We take that fear and we multiply it, and he uses it every day, and we walk in fear every single day. But that's not what God wants for us. God doesn't want you to walk in fear. In fact, he says, fear not. How many times does he say fear not? Does anybody know? Why do you think he said it 365 days a year? It's 365 times in the Bible he said, fear not, because he knew your enemy and he knew you and he knew me. He knew that that enemy wasn't going to stop on one day. He was going to come every day. He knew that that was going to happen so much that he said, you know what, fear not. And what's the opposite of fear? But faith. So God's saying, you know what, I want to be your X factor, but I need you. I need you to step in. I need you to choose me. That's what he wants us to do. If I'm going to walk in victory, I got to go away from the fear and I got to choose him. And this is what happens when we use him as our X factor. If we choose him, it doesn't matter what the enemy brings my way. It doesn't matter what the problem is. When I mix his grace and my faith, I get the solution that I need. When I choose him over fear, that's what God wants us to do. That's what he's trying to get Moses to do. I know it's a big problem. I know it seems over the top, but I need you to have faith. You know what I love most about this? There are two things that it takes to be the X factor in your life. One is his grace, and the other is your faith. It doesn't take how long you've been coming to church. It doesn't take how many prayers you've prayed. It doesn't take how much you've given in the offering. It doesn't take how many times you've got on your knee, how many times you've gone to the altar, how many times you've had someone pray for you. It doesn't matter if you sing a song. It doesn't matter if you're an usher. It doesn't matter if you're just a person on the street. If you want a solution to your life, the easiest thing you do is you mix your faith and his grace, and it will come out on top. Every single time. And so, my question to you today, and I want you to think about this every day, is when you're facing a problem today, what is your X? Is it fear, or are you going in it with faith? Because if you're wondering why tomorrow something's going to come up, I guarantee you it's going to come up, because he's going to attack you 7 days a week, 365 days, every single day of the week, all year long, it's going to happen. So when that happens, are you going to fall into that fear and go with that? Or are you going to mix your faith in his grace? So let's see how he does this for Moses. And now a wind came out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and it left them fluttering near the camp about a day's journey on either side, all around the camp. About 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. That's about 3 feet deep. And the people stayed there all day and all night and even the next day gathering quail. Those who gathered together were at least 10 homers. That was a very large number. That's I do not have it written down. I apologize. It was over 105 million quail in one day rained around the camp. You have to understand where they were and why this was so amazing. You have to understand that they were 50 miles east of the Red Sea and 50 miles south of the Mediterranean. They were stuck in a place called Paran. Now, why is that significant? Well, see, quail don't migrate. Quail don't fly south for the winter. Quail don't fly very far at all. In fact, they live close to the water. That's why you can go quail hunting in the winter, because they don't fly very far. Well, 50 miles is a long way to fly, even for a bird that doesn't. I mean, 50 miles in an airplane is a very long time. But 50 miles is a long, long way to fly, so quail don't fly that far. So the fact that they flew in was a miraculous gust. In fact, it was like a cloudburst. The best way I could describe it was like quail rained down from heaven. In fact, the Bible said it was 3 feet deep in every direction, about a day's walk. Now, based on the Hebrew measurement, a day's walk was 15 miles in any direction. So, if we went into the center of their camp, where they would eventually keep the tabernacle, and we went 15 miles north, and we went 15 miles south, and we went 15 miles east, and we went 15 miles west, all around them were quail 3 feet deep. In one day. It was like a bird blizzard. In fact, you know, maybe that's where Alfred Hitchcock got his idea for the birds. He was reading the Bible and was like, you know what, that's pretty scary. I can't imagine 105 million quail flying down. So if we want to calculate how big of an area was that? Well, the way that you do that is you take the radius squared times pi, and this is what you get. 15 squared times pi equals 706 square miles. 706 square miles. Now, I looked it up. Do you know how big Kerrville is? Kerrville is 17 square miles. That's Kerrville. Another 689 square miles past that. Do you think that you can have a problem, and if you make God your X factor, that he can't come through and he can't just meet your need, but he can meet everyone's need? He wants to not just bless Kerrville, but he wants to bless Bandera and Center Point, and he wants to bless Harper and Ingram. You think God can do that? You think he's big enough to do that?
Yes.
He is big enough to do that. The question, though, that you have to decide, are you going to make him your X factor? That's what he wants. But the question is, how do we make God our X factor? What is it going to take for us to do that? How are we going to mix our faith with his grace? Well, God shows this to Moses. In fact, he asks Moses a question. It is the question. If you really want this to happen, if you want God to bless your problem and make your solution, you have to answer this for yourself. You have to make this decision every day. And this is what he does. He asks Moses a question. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version, and then I'm going to read it in the Good News Translation. He says, and the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see what has happened to you, or what I say will happen to you or not. Is the Lord's arm shortened? Now, I don't know how to translate that, so I like the Good News Translation on this. The Good News says, is there a limit to my power? That's what he asked Moses before he did it. He said, Moses, I know you've got a big problem. I know there's over a million people here, and I know they want me, and I know I told you for a month, but the question is there a limit to my power? Because when you get it in your head that there's no limit to his power, and you answer that question for yourself, you know what? There is no limit to God's power. Then I can wake up every day, and I can face every problem, and I can mix my faith with his grace, because I know in my heart and in my mind that there is no limit to his power. That's what you have to decide for yourself today. And that's what you have to decide for yourself every day with whatever problem that you face. And if you put that in your heart and you never forget that there's no limit to his power, then I promise you the numbers will never lie and you will get what you need. Now, this is not the only issue of food and people wanting food. My wife's going to make a comment about that to me later because I always talk about food, but there's a reason for it. But it happened a few hundred years later. I think y'all have heard this story, the Sermon on the Mount. We've heard that one before? Yeah, just once or twice. If you've never heard of it, no, I'm just playing. I'm not going to go in that detail. So, Jesus is speaking, and they're in a desert place. Now, when you think of a desert, we think of hot, and yes, it was very hot today, and we think it's like that. But what the Bible really means is a desert place is there was nothing anywhere around. It was a grassy place. He had everyone sit down. He said, please sit down. Everyone sit, sit, sit. And he looked at the disciples and he said, all right, you feed them. Huh? There's 5,000 men here plus women and children. There's 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people here. What do you want us to do? We're in the middle of nowhere. In fact, we only have a few penny worth. This is not enough to feed all these men and women. And then a nameless little boy comes up and he says, hey, I have some food. Here's, you want my lunch? We know the story, we've read it before, but Andrew or Adam says the same question that Moses asked with his problem and that you and I are thinking and that all the disciples were thinking. He goes, how can so little feed so many? He's doing the math. It's not adding up. How could this possibly work? How can this possibly bless all these people? Have you ever done that? You want to step out in faith and God calls you to something deeper and something greater, but it doesn't add up? You want to step out with your finances, but the bills just don't add up. And God calls you to do a missions trip, and it doesn't add up. God calls you to do something greater, to go somewhere else, to go back to school, and it just doesn't add up. Here's the thing. You and I live in a plus and minus world. This is what we grew up with. This is what we do. If I go to work so many hours, I get so much pay. I better. I work this many hours, I better get my pay. I'm going to be, hey, Doc, come here. Sir, boss, I worked 40 hours. Where's my paycheck? Right? We also know on the other end, okay, when I get my paycheck, okay, if I pay this bill, and I subtract it, okay, I have that much money to live off of. I can go out to eat tonight, or I need to go get a loaf of bread, and I'm having sandwiches all week. But that's the world that we live in. If we also know that if I spend, I only have so much time in the day, so if I spend my time doing this today, I take away this. Or if I say no to that, I have all this extra free time. So we live in a plus and minus world. But in your notes, your formula is not God's solution. It is really not working for me, is it? There we go. Your formula is not how God finds the solution. Now, we know how this story goes. Jesus blesses it. He breaks it. He says, feed the people. He doesn't just feed them. He feeds them till they're full. And he doesn't just feed them to the full. They gather the leftovers and they put it in 12 baskets. Now, I love that because how many tribes of Israel are there? 12. And how many baskets full were there? When you have a problem and you take it to God and he sees things a little differently than you and he takes it and he blesses it and he makes it multiply. Because God sees things a little different than you or I. This is how you and I see things. Plus and minus, right? Now, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are more like God than anything else on this earth. He made you in his image. He breathed life into us. He created you. He knew you from your mother's womb. You are so special. He loves you so much. He died on the cross for you because he wants you to spend it forever with him in heaven. He loves you so much that he did that. And even though we're so close, he just sees things a little different than you and I. In fact, tonight he wants you to see things his way. And when you have a problem in your life and you're trying to make it add up and it's just not adding up, God says, okay, instead of doing it your way, why don't you do it my way? Why don't you give me what you have and watch me do it? This is what God does. He turns it around just a little bit. You see the plus, and he turns it around, and he sees multiplication. I know you see 5,000 men and women, and I know you see 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but if you give it to me, watch me multiply it. I don't want you to think of how little it is. In fact, God told them, he said, look, if you put a seed in the ground, it's not going to be 2 seeds that come up. He says it's going to be 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. See, while we think math, God's thinking multiplication. He's thinking just a little bit different than we are. He's thinking, you know what? God, I really only have $5 for this missions to help for this church. What's that going to do? And God says, why don't you just give it and watch me multiply that $5? You know what, God? I can only serve one day a month to help out my church. I can only do it one service one day. What can I do? And God says, you know what? I don't want you to see the big number, but I want you to step into that. And I know you think it's a little, but I want you to watch me multiply it. I'm tired of you seeing things just plus and minus. I want you to step into that faith, and I want you to watch me multiply it. But he's not just there. The other thing too. It's not just the negative, not just the positive switching to a multiplication, but what does that negative look like? It looks like a division sign, right? Now, you and I are people that we see plus and we see minus. And God's saying, okay, I know what you see. You see something happening in your life. You see a person or you see a situation, you see a problem, and you see it being negative as it's being taken away from you. And God's trying to say, you know what? I want you to see things a little different because you know what that also looks like to me? That looks like a ramp to me. That looks like God's trying to raise you up. He's trying to take you to a higher place. I know you think you're losing something, but I'm picking you up. I'm taking you out of the miry clay. I'm making you a chosen person. You are in the world and not of the world. And that's what I'm doing. You see something going away, but I see you being lifted up. Now, I want to give a disclaimer right here. When that happens, when I get filled with the Holy Spirit and God raises me up, I promise you, that doesn't raise me up and make me better than you. That makes me better than me. So when you get higher, that doesn't mean, you know what, I'm just in the world of other world, but I'm not better than anybody else. But God has lifted me up. And that's what God wants us to do today. He wants to raise us up. I know you see negative. I know you see that bad problem. I know you see it doesn't add up. It seems like you're losing something. And God said, no, you're not losing something. But I'm picking you up and taking you to another place. Lastly, we've all heard the story about Lazarus. We've heard this story many, many times. We're going to talk about it tonight. And I can imagine how this all unfolds. We've heard it many, many times. But what's the first negative that happens? Lazarus gets sick. He gets sick. Oh, he's sick. What do? That's okay. It's just a few days. There's a bug going around. It's no big deal. Mary and Martha, don't worry about it. Just stay away from him. Cover your mouth when you cough, Lazarus. Come on. Come on. Don't get us sick. You know how the sisters are. You know how it is when someone gets sick. And then a week goes by and it's not getting any better. So what do you think they do? Okay, maybe we need to call a doctor. I can see that. I can call the doctor. Now, I don't know about you, but we know what happens sometimes when we go see the doctor and we ask, hey, what's wrong with me? And we don't get the answer that we want. It's not the solution that we want. In fact, you know what? We don't just do that at the doctor. You know we do that at church. We walk into that church and we sit in that pew and we say, you know what? You need to give me my solution in the next 30 minutes. I need an answer right now. And then you go to church and then you just don't get the answer that you want. I know I've done that. I know I sit in here, I come with hope and expectation that I'm going to get what I need today. And sometimes it doesn't happen. It didn't happen here for Martha and Mary. Lazarus is still sick. The doctor says, I can't find anything wrong with him. The prognosis is bad. There's no hope. What do we do? Wait a second. Jesus. We can go get Jesus. That's it. We can go get Jesus. In fact, they don't go to Jesus. They send for Jesus. Now, there's reasons for it. Part of you think, well, is it because they're lazy? No. You don't have ladies just go walking in that time frame. They didn't just randomly walk. They had to send a messenger. So I don't get on that. But I do get on them for how they sent the messenger. They send the messenger and they say, you know what? Say, I know. Come here. This is what you can say. This is what the Amplified says. So the sisters sent to him saying, tell him this. Lord, he who you love so well is sick. Say that to him. Say it. Just like that. Now, that's how the Amplified says it. The NIV says it a little bit differently. It says that the sisters sent to him and said, Lord, the one you love is so sick. That's just all it says. The one you love is so sick. Now, I'm going to pause for a second, ladies. If someone came to me and said, the one that you love is so sick, and it's my brother, but you came up to me and said, the one you love is so sick, I'm going to her. Oh, baby, are you okay? I'm fine. Well, who's the one I love so much? Good thing it's Jesus. He knows what we need. All right, ladies, I just give a disclaimer. You know, he's God in the flesh. Please spell it out for us. Don't think anybody, well, you know, it worked for Mary and Martha. Just the one you love is so sick. Don't do that. It's not funny. We're going to be not where you want us to be, and then we're going to get in trouble. He's laughing because I just preached right there to his life. So the word has been sent. The messengers come back. Hope is on its way. Healing's on its way. Jesus is on its way. And I can imagine they're so excited. Yes, the messengers came back. He got the message perfect. And what do? They make preparations. Okay, you stay with Lazarus and I'm going to go to the edge of the city. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to see him any minute now. Any minute now. He's going to come walking out. I can see him. I can just imagine. He's going to come walking out. And they take turns. And then the second thing goes wrong. Lazarus dies. He dies. He doesn't make it. Now we know the questions they have. We've asked them ourselves. They get so frustrated. Jesus comes. We know the drama that unfolds. We've heard this story a million times. In fact, from a young child, you know this scripture by heart because it's the shortest scripture in the Bible. Jesus wept. So everyone knows the story, even if you don't go, no, I know the Bible, Jesus wept, right? You've heard this story. Everyone's heard this story. But you got to know he's walking in and he's not acting like it's nothing. You got to pick that up. He wept for a reason. It hurt him. It wasn't exactly what he wanted to be, but he had a purpose. He had a reason. And how easy is it, just like Mary and Martha, to get frustrated when God doesn't show up like you think he should, like you want him to, like you knew he could. You know he can heal people. You've been around when he did it. And he just doesn't show up. And it goes from bad to worse. Has anybody ever yelled out loud at the top of their lungs, "Can anything else go wrong?" And then it does. It gets worse. Maybe that's where you are today. But I'm going to ask you a question. What happens when you multiply a negative times a negative? You get a positive. When you take a negative times a negative, it turns into a positive. What God wants you and I to know today is that he doesn't take joy in your trials, but he wants you to know that your negative can be his positive. He's not happy about it. He's going to cry about it because it hurts him. But you know what? When it goes bad and it keeps going bad and you've done everything that you can, you've come to church, you've said your prayers, you've sent a message, you know him, he loves you, you know that he loves you, you have an intimate relationship with him, and he still doesn't show up on the time, and you just get frustrated. And God's saying, you know what? I know that math. It just sees negative, negative, negative. But when I step into it, I'm going to turn your negative into my positive. In fact, he told the disciples, look, this is for my glory. Lazarus is dead. It's not what I want. It's what I need. And it's for my glory. And that's what God wants you to know today. If you're going through a hard time, if you're going through the biggest trial of your life, and it just seems one thing after another thing after another thing, and you're like, God, when is this ever going to come through? When is this ever going to make sense? I pray to you. I talk to you. Just remember, it's going to work out for his good because all things work out for your good. So I got a little bit of time, and I didn't put this in my notes. I just said check time. So I'm going to take it. So my wife, the love of my life, my bride, I met her online. Some of you know this, some of you don't. I met her on christianmingle.com. We talked on the phone for weeks. Weeks and weeks and weeks. I lived in Austin. She lived here in Kerrville. Now, I remember the day. I remember the conversation when I fell in love with her. When I said, this is a woman I can fall in love with. We were on the phone and she was telling me about something that just didn't add up. She was testifying to me. Now, my wife had made some decisions in her past. She had taken some money from work to pay some bills. It wasn't a little bit of money. It was a lot of money. Now, she went and gave it back, but in the process, she got caught. She got in trouble. She has a record. Criminals are hot, babe, just so you know. Why is the significance of that? Because she told me this. I have a record. And I'm like, oh, she's a bad. No, that's not what it is. She's testifying right now. She's saying, look, I have a record, and that means I can't do some things. So she tells me, you know, one day God just says, I need to go on a missions trip. I need to go to Africa. Now, she doesn't have a passport. You think you can get a passport easy when you have a record? No. I ain't letting you leave this country. Everyone tells her, what are you doing? You're not going to get that passport. The time is running out. She's got a small window before she can go. She doesn't know how she's going to pay for it. You know what? Let's go down the list. Not only can she not get a passport, but guess what? Her son is a young boy. How old was Dominic? Six? It's 10 years ago. He's 6 years old. And she's about to say, you know what? I'm going to leave him here. And I'm going to go do this. Well, you can't leave your son. You can't do that. You're crazy. What's wrong with you? No. That doesn't add up. No. You can't do that. And then her job, you know what? I really feel this calling to step out and go do this mission trip. And her boss was like, you know what? If you do that, you don't have a job when you come back. Now, I don't know about you, but when I start hearing that story, I've got a record. I can't get a passport. Okay, let's keep going. I got a six-year-old. No one wants me to leave him. I'm still going to keep pushing. Oh, I'm going to lose my job when I come back? None of that adds up. None of that makes any sense. And then she goes. And it works out. In fact, I remember her telling me, the amount of faith it took to step out when everything that came against her to say, don't go, and she stepped out in faith. I was in tears. It was more than just that. When it didn't make sense, when it didn't add up, this woman stepped out in faith, said, you know what, God, I'm going to make you my X factor. I know what the world says. I know all the negatives, but I'm going to step into what you called me to do and asked me to do, and I'm going to have a little bit of faith, and I'm going to mix it with your grace, and I know this is going to work out for my good. And she didn't know that years later, there would be a man in Austin hearing that testimony, trying not to have her hear his tears. Because you know you got to be strong. Amazed that he's found someone who has that type of faith. And when you find someone who has that type of faith, I can spend the rest of my life with a woman like that. But it didn't add up. It just didn't add up. So my question to you today is, what problem do you need solved? What problem do you have in your life that the numbers just don't add up? For some of us, it could be financial, or maybe who we are, or our walk with God. And we've been living in fear every day, overwhelmed by the problems. We can't imagine how it's ever going to get solved. And God says, you know what? I want you to choose me today. I want to be your X factor. I want to go ahead and step in and mix my grace, which is free. You don't have to do anything to earn it, with your faith. It's going to come together. And I want you to see that there's no limit to his power. That's what he wants. Maybe it's time for you to stop seeing things the way you see them. Maybe it's time to start seeing things the way he sees them. Maybe it's time to say, God, you know what? This doesn't add up. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to let you take over. I'm going to let you multiply it. You know what, God? I'm looking at my marriage that's struggling, and I'm looking at it and saying, you know what, God, all I have is this little bit of love. That's all I got left over. This is not going to solve our problems. This is not going to fill all the need. And God says, you know what, why don't you give me that little love, and why don't you watch me multiply it? And it's going to fill every bit of that need, and then there's going to be baskets full of love left over. Maybe it's that situation where you've been fighting it over and over again, and there's a situation that God says, you know what? I don't want that thing. I don't want that person in your life. I need you to get away from that. And you're the whole time thinking, no, I don't want to lose them. And God's saying, you know what? I am raising you up. I'm taking you higher. Stop seeing it as a negative and see it as me picking you higher and taking you to another level. Maybe it's that diagnosis, and you've gone from doctor to doctor to doctor, and it's from bad news to bad news, and there's no hope, and you've cried out to Jesus, and you know that he loves you, and it just seems like it's too late. Sorry. There are some people that want to have a child, and they've been told no, and no. It's never going to happen for you. It's not going to happen. No after no after no, and God says, you know what? I'm going to step into that, and I'm going to take your negative, and I'm going to multiply my love in there. I'm going to step in there. I'm going to make it my positive. I'm going to do it for my glory. And maybe you're there today. Maybe it's been nothing but negative your whole life, and God says, you know what? We're going to turn around today for my glory. It's time for us to stop trying to figure it out ourselves. It's time to go ahead and do it his way. It's time to go ahead and step out in faith, because you know what? There's no limit to his power, and numbers never lie. And everything I just saw says that God can do it all. So if you have a need today, you don't have to confess it, but if you have a need today that you have a major problem and you need a solution, I want to go ahead and pray for you. Go ahead and lift your hand today, and we're going to pray for you today. Let's bow our heads. Let's respect our brothers and sisters. Lord, right now, I love you today. I thank you that your numbers never lie. I thank you that you're a God full of grace. I thank you that you're an amazing God, that you're on time, that no matter what I see, you see something a little bit different, a little bit higher. And Lord, I pray for these needs, These unspoken needs, Lord, they need you to step in, Lord, and I pray that you bless them and anoint them and give them the strength that they need, the strength that they need to put faith in you, because your grace is already there. Your grace is already there. Lord, to stop looking at the plus and minus, to see it the way the world sees it, the way I've always seen it. I've always seen it plus and minus, God. Let me have your eyes today. Let me take the little I have and watch you multiply it. Let me see when you're taking something away that it's not bad, but it's for my good. Lord, bless us today. Keep us as you always have. Anoint us, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Bless them this week where they go, when they see a problem and it's 7 times 360. And they say, you know what? I'm thinking about falling in fear today, Jesus. Let them go ahead and remember your word and remember that your numbers never lie. Lord, we thank you today. We give you all the glory. We ask that you bless us and keep us safe for when we come next week. In Jesus' name, amen.